Welcome to Trailer Blazers, you know. It's a fine podcast. I've listened a few times, and I think I'm going to subscribe as soon as the prince shows me how to do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't decide which English accent to do.
But he found one. He found his voice.
It was sort of a like a scoundrel.
Well, I'm a scoundrel. My name's Ben Moon. Scoundrel-esque. Scoundrel. Somewhat like a scoundrel. And I'm here.
My name is Nick Kelly. I'm a scruffy-looking nerf herder.
Nick, we are on this podcast.
That is true. Ben, I noticed that Vanity Fair put out a little video this week about how movie trailers are made. Did you watch that video?
I have not. I actually did not watch that. I didn't catch that
okay.
earlier.
I'm going to put it in the show notes. I didn't want to talk in depth about it because it's really a very technical video. But for anyone who's interested in the craft and the demographics and like the marketing aspect of trailers, Vanity Fair put a little video out, and it was pretty interesting.
I guess people could watch that, and then they can make their own fan trailer like you see on YouTube sometimes.
Yeah, and then it'll trick us into thinking it's real, and we'll talk about it on here.
Indeed, we will. Now, there is a fan-made trailer that I actually suggest you go watch as soon as you listen to this podcast. It is a spaghetti western-style trailer for The Mandalorian, and it's called Il Mandaloriano.
It was very good. It was a lot like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yes. This is very, very well made. I mean, it has its own music and the visual style, and it is a lot of fun. Go check it out.
Is it Sergio Leone that did all that music for the Eastwood spaghetti westerns?
I don't know.
I think it was Sergio.
He did a real good job. Real iconic.
The Mandalorian has that aesthetic to begin with, so it's a natural fit.
It is. We'll have the link in the show notes for you. Sir Nick, what did you watch this past week?
I started out by watching The Outsider, which we had talked about the trailer for that a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago. And
yeah.
It's the HBO Stephen King adaptation with Ben Mendelsohn and Jason Bateman. And I gotta tell you, it's pretty compelling TV right there.
How many episodes are out?
The third one's on right now, but we're watching it on Mondays, so there's going to be three out thus far because they released two right away. And it's like a 60-minute episode, but when we were watching it, it felt like they were 10 minutes because I was keyed in to the show.
I'm going to have to check this out then because that sounds like a recommendation.
Yeah, Ben Mendelsohn's always good.
I love him. What else? What else have you been watching?
I watched a movie called The Art of Self-Defense with Jesse Eisenberg. It was really weird. It was a dark comedy. It was about a guy who gets mugged and then he starts taking karate lessons, but the karate people are kind of all insane, and he's like a Jesse Eisenberg character, so he's really meek and weird at the beginning, and then he starts getting super into the karate, and the dojo is just insane, and they say the most ridiculous things in this movie with utter conviction, which made it pretty funny.
Grandmaster is the only person ever to wear the rainbow belt. It's a belt color that he created and awarded to himself. It is the highest honor in all of karate.
So it was pretty funny sometimes. It kept going down this rabbit hole of being more and more insane as it went along. So it was pretty entertaining. I enjoyed it. But it was, like I said, it was a real dark comedy. So might not be for everybody, but I thought it was pretty entertaining. I'm glad I watched it anyway. And I also watched Snowpiercer, the 2013 Chris Evans train movie, the director of which was nominated for best director this year for the movie Parasite. So I couldn't watch Parasite. It's not streaming yet, so I watched Snowpiercer instead. That was a bleak movie. Have you seen that one?
I have, yeah. It's kind of allegorical, but boy, it's pretty bleak.
Yep, it reminded me kind of The Raid, where you just get these more intense battles going through like a building, only this was a train. Jess said it was a lot like Old Boy in that way too, which I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, some of that, yeah.
And then I watched Gamera the Invincible with the riff tracks on Amazon, because they have a lot of riff tracks on there. And it was interesting because it was from 1966, and there was all these like American actors, and it would cut to them, and they were in like a boardroom, and their scenes didn't seem to add anything. Like, they just seemed extra. And I was wondering why they were even in there at all, so I texted my cousin, who's like an expert on kaiju movies, and he says that it was sort of a similar thing to what China does now, where they, for American audiences, they were shooting extra scenes and like just stitching them into the movie because they thought it would sell better in America.
Huh.
So that was interesting.
Huh.
And then I watched Midsommar last night, the daytime horror movie.
Have you seen it before?
Nope.
Is it a horror movie, did you feel like, or is it more thriller, or what do you think?
I would say it's a folk horror movie. It reminded me a lot of the original Wicker Man from the 60s or 70s, either late 60s or early 70s, the one with Christopher Lee in it. There was some pretty brutal scenes in it, but overall it was more like of a slow dread building movie. It was pretty good, I thought, and it was the first thing I'd seen Florence Pugh in, and I'm really excited to see her in Black Widow now because she's a really good actor.
Mm. And this is like adjacent to the other movie that it's like, which is At Night. The same guy directed it, right? His
oh, he directed Hereditary. I haven't seen that.
That's it.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I don't know that I'll ever see these. I don't know.
I don't think they're Ben movies.
No, probably not.
And then I watched John Wick 3 just before. But I saw that one in the theater, but it was full of people talking. So I watched it on HBO because it's on HBO right now. And I just love those movies. So that was just fun to watch.
I've only seen the second one, oddly enough.
Only the second one?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Oh, yeah. I still think the first one's the best. But they're really good at world building, and it's, I don't know, I just think the choreography is probably the best that there is for an action movie out there.
The Gun Kata.
So good.
Do you remember that?
I do.
From Equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a very diverse list of things you've watched.
Oh yeah, I was all over the place. How about you?
Yeah, so I finished Big Trouble in Little China. Yeah, that movie is over the top, exactly like you described it.
Oh yeah, it's insane.
Even the dialogue and stuff is just like, what in the world? But it was fun. I watched the live action Aladdin on Disney Plus. It recently came out on Disney Plus. I had not seen it yet, and so I watched that, and it was actually better than I was expecting. Do I think we needed it? No, I don't.
That's where I'm at as well.
Yeah, but you know, it was. I don't regret watching it, or anything. Then I watched the original Cinderella with my children, and it's still pretty good. It's pretty funny because there's one scene where the king keeps putting these cigars in the royal advisor's mouth and keeps lighting them and stuff, and I found that pretty funny. They probably wouldn't do that today.
No. Did they have like a warning at the beginning?
Oh, I didn't even see. I wasn't even looking at the beginning.
I bet there was.
There probably was. I watched the entire season of I Think You Should Leave.
I watched that all in one sitting once.
It was hilarious. I thought this is very much the style of humor that my brother and my sister, we all have. So we thought it was hilarious.
Yep. I enjoyed that very much as well.
Gosh. Oh my gosh. And it's, it's not safe for the children to watch, but once they go to bed, you could watch it. There's just some sketches in there that are just killer. They're so funny. So funny. One of our favorites is it's like in the 50s or 60s, and a guy's in a recording studio and he's laying a track down. They're like, nah, man, we don't like this. The kids, they want the new stuff. And he's like, I'll play something new. So he goes, take my lead to the guy, to the bassist. And they start playing a song. And then the bassist is Tim Robinson, who's like the main guy in the show. And Tim Robinson just starts making up stuff. oh my gosh, guys, you got to go see that. It's on Netflix.
It was very good.
Yep. Then I started listening to the Lunar Chronicles. You ever heard of these series of books, the Lunar Chronicles?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Okay, so it's a series of books where they take these old like fairy tales, like like Cinderella, Little Red Riding Hood, Snow White, and they do like science fiction takes on them. So I'm listening to the first book in the series, which is called Cinder. It's a Cinderella story, but she's a cyborg. And it sounds stupid and ridiculous, but the lady who wrote them is actually a pretty good author, I feel like, and so I've actually really enjoyed it. So I'll probably listen to the whole series.
I never heard of that. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's YA. You know, it's definitely young adult fiction. So you know what you're getting into, but it's fun. And then I watched, and I think you watched this too, The Saga, Star Wars with Tommy Wiseau, the full story.
I actually haven't had a chance to check it out yet, but I'm excited about it.
you watch this, and literally, it's like 20 minutes long on YouTube. And while you're watching this, you're sitting there going, it must have taken this guy so long to make this. I can't imagine how long it took him to make this.
Oh, I'm so excited about it.
Oh, man. He cuts out Tommy Wiseau's image and words from The Room and puts it into Star Wars. Mostly episode 2 and 3, I think. There's some other scenes in there as well, though. Gosh, pretty funny. If nothing else, watch it just for the technical achievement that it is, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, I remember when we talked about the trailer that they made for it. There was a slide in the trailer that said this took a really, really long time.
He wasn't lying, that's for sure. So it's pretty funny. You're breaking my heart, Nick.
What'd you think about those 2020 Oscar nominations?
You know, the Oscar nominations, most of the time, I haven't seen like 75% to 85% of the movies in the Oscars. These are more like movies that I would have seen some of these,
mm-hmm.
But I still haven't seen all of them. Matter of fact, I have only seen 2 of these.
I've seen actually none of the Best Picture nominees yet. There's ones that I really want to see. Like, I really want to see Jojo Rabbit, and I really want to see 1917. Yeah, they're not available yet, and I don't go to the theater that much.
Yeah, kind of hard to see these if you're not going to go to the theater.
Yeah, it's true. But last year, the one that won Best Picture I never even heard of, I think it was The Green Book or something. I never heard of that last year, and then it won Best Picture.
That is often the case with me, too, that I haven't even heard of like half of them or more. I think probably 1917 will get it, but I don't know. I haven't even seen it yet, but I think maybe it should. I don't know.
I want 1917 to get it because I think I want to see that the most. I think The Irishman will get it, and I'm afraid that Joker will get it.
The Joker, I don't know that we needed that movie. I haven't seen it, but...
I haven't seen it either, but I saw it the first 2 times they made it when it was called Taxi Driver and The King of Comedy.
I've not seen either of those.
Yeah, there's old Scorsese movies, and The Joker sort of just looks to me like it's a bunch of Scorsese references. He's probably going to win Best Actor, too, I think.
Yeah, I really can't speak much to the Best Actor or Best Actress category, supporting actors, because, I haven't seen this stuff. I know these names, you know. Just looking at this list, I don't know. Now, I do see Klaus is in here for Best Animated Film.
Yeah, that one's going to be good. I feel like they automatically give that to Pixar whenever they make one. So, Missing Link is Laika. They're pretty good, too. Did you ever see Kubo and the Two Strings?
I did.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
It was beautiful, beautiful movie there.
Well, I don't think we're the Oscar podcast here.
This is not set up to be an Oscar podcast, and I don't know that our audience is gonna would even be like, "Hey, man, I can't believe you didn't do a deep dive on the Oscars."
Yeah, we probably covered the trailers for some of these, but who knows? I don't know.
This is very appropriate that it would go this way because literally we only have seen the trailers. I mean, and that's why this podcast was born.
Yeah, because we don't have time to watch all these movies.
Gosh, I don't.
Who has 2 hours?
Jeez, I don't. I barely am awake an hour after the children go to bed, so...
Yeah, me too. I'm barely awake an hour after your children go to bed.
And I don't think my children want to watch Marriage Story with me on the telly.
Probably not. Doesn't seem like a movie for them.
No. All right, so that brings us to the questions times, Nick.
Yeah, here's where it gets fun.
This is our favorite part of the podcast, let's be honest.
Yeah, no Oscar discussions here that we don't really care about. We're just covering so people don't remind us that we forgot to cover it.
Yeah, and who cares about those awards anyway? Those people are self-important. We don't care about that.
Yeah.
But we do care about how we answer these ding-dang questions.
Yeah, why don't we start with this one, because I'm really excited about it.
Okay, question number one. What movie would you like to see made into a high-budget TV series?
Yeah, so we're talking like how Fargo took their movie and they started to make a TV series. So I thought this could go either two ways. It could be where you take one movie and you turn that storyline from that movie into a TV series, or you make a TV series set in the same, like almost like a sequel, like Fargo. So my first answer, the first thing that I thought of is Rogue One, because to me Rogue One would have been just a phenomenal series, like if it was in the style of The Mandalorian. So we would have got time with the characters more than we did. And then if I wanted a series set in a film universe, I would very much like a Blade Runner series.
That would be awesome. I would watch both of those. I would tune in the second they came out.
Any time period in Blade Runner. It doesn't have to be during the first one or 2049. Just anything. I'll take it. Dredd. I would like a Judge Dredd series that Carl Urban was in. That would be good. Mm-hmm. I think they were talking about making one called Mega City One that was about different judges, and then sometimes Carl Urban would be on it when he had time to shoot it.
Yeah, that sounds familiar, yeah.
But I don't know what happened to that. I don't know if they're still working on it, or I'll have to look into that. And then one of my favorite movies ever that there's not enough of is Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World with Russell Crowe. And then you don't see a lot of stuff from that time period of like the Napoleonic Wars, and I would like to spend some more time in that universe with those characters from Master and Commander. So I would like, you could turn the movie into a series with the same plot, or you could just like do a sequel series, anything to get me back on that ship.
Did you ever watch the Marco Polo series?
No, I know it exists, but I haven't seen it. Was it any good?
I only watched the first couple episodes of that first season. It was done really well. I mean, it was like the quality was there. I don't know that I really connected with it, though.
Hmm. Well, if it was Master and Commander, I'm already connected to Captain Jack and the crew of the Surprise, so I would like to go back to that ship.
That was interesting to think. Well, it's interesting to hear you say that, because you want to be connected to these characters you know and love. And earlier when you were saying you wanted a Blade Runner that was whatever time period, maybe it wasn't connected to any of the characters. I think I like that better. I think I like it when it's a totally new story. We're not connected to anybody that we know. It's just in that universe. It's in that world. Because, you know, we talked about Star Wars. Maybe should have been like that, the new Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And so, actually, I think I'm going to say that with all of the stuff that I'm going to say, I don't want any of the actors. I don't want any of the, I mean, I want some of the, obviously some of the characters are going to be the same, but it's going to be new people playing them. Maybe it's just set in that world. It could even be a different time, whatever. But I'm going to say Masters of the Universe, because I really want a He-Man movie.
Me too.
And I don't want this done in the style of the movie. I want this like in that fantasy world. But a TV show.
Yeah, if they could follow the sort of design of the 2003 series when they made the little reboot series for a little while. It was short-lived, but the design of everything was really cool in that one.
I didn't see that, but maybe I'll have to see if it's on something streaming.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it is, but it had really good animation, and everything was, it had the classic look, but it was a little sleeker design. A few updates on the designs. It was cool.
Yeah. Then also G.I. Joe. I think that is a property that has not been done justice. I mean, what was that? Like, they had super suits or something stupid. I mean, that was just ridiculous.
Yeah, that movie was bad.
The sequel, I think they made a sequel as well. It was not good.
They're making a new one now about Snake Eyes or something, but I don't know if it's connected to the old ones.
They're just not going to get this right. I'll tell you what I want. I want something like almost like a Band of Brothers or Saving Private Ryan, but modern day. Not as gritty as like Black Hawk Down, but maybe something where you like the style of the action is like that. And then you have, you know, these characters that are not super soldiers, but they have these unique tools that they're given or unique abilities or something. I just think it could be something cool. I know I listed a bunch of these, but Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow, I think that would be a fun thing to have a series of.
I would like, I love old pulpy stuff like that, like Bat and the Rocketeer, any of those, any, give me some more pulp.
Yes, 1940s pulp. That's what we want.
Yeah, The Phantom.
The Phantom. I never saw The Phantom.
Oh, that's good. It's on Amazon Prime if you have that.
Is that Billy Zane? Is that who's in that?
Billy Zane, yeah.
Yeah. Then Return to Oz. Not in the style of Wizard of Oz, in the style of Return to Oz. So kind of darker, creepier, not horror, but just creepy and weird and fun designs.
Sort of like how Netflix did this, the new series for The Dark Crystal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want a lot of practical effects just like Dark Crystal.
You'd have to. Yeah, it would have to be practical. Yeah.
As much practical as you can. And then League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, I think, sets itself up perfectly for a series.
Definitely.
Whoever did Umbrella Academy could totally do it.
Umbrella Academy was the thing that when I started it, I did not expect to like it, and then I loved it.
Yeah, I liked it too. So I think all of our answers are pretty spot on, though I haven't seen Master and Commander, but I think all of these are spot on. But what do you think? What would you turn? What movie would you turn into a high-budget TV series?
Yeah, let us know so we can read them next week and be jealous of your answers.
Yeah, always. Now, the question number two of the questions times is, what movie or TV show vehicle would you like to have?
Now, I added my own little addendum to your question here where I thought we could have a big one and then a small one that we keep inside of the big one to use for, like, smaller travel or surface world travel. So my big one, I want Serenity. I want to live in Serenity. I want to fly around in Serenity. I want to talk like we're in Firefly universe. I'm going to wear my Mal coat all the time. And then for a small one, I was thinking of a few, but then I landed on, I want to have the Goblin Glider from the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie in 2001 with the Green Goblin. It's fun. You can fly around. It trails smoke so everyone can see you coming. I could yell Willem Dafoe Green Goblin lines all over the place. Throw pumpkin bombs at people.
That is pretty solid there. I'll get you, Spider-Man!
Plus, if I'm in a pinch and I need to get out of there, I can have Wash take off in Serenity, and then they can have the back door hanging open, and I can fly in there as they're closing it. And then we'll make a cool getaway.
And then also, too, like, you could have, like, one of those ski ropes and then be, like, on tailspin and you can, like, sky surf.
This is the best. That's the best idea so far.
Yeah, that's actually solid, dude. That's actually really solid.
Mm-hmm.
So when you I saw that you had listed a spaceship that you can live in, and of course I thought, well, we know this is the best idea. So I chose the Normandy 2 from the Mass Effect video game series.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
And I like the Normandy 2 better because it has the quantum entanglement communicator. So if I want to talk to somebody without anybody else knowing, I can do it.
That's true.
And it flies faster than light.
Plus, you can walk around and find different crew members and max out their dialogue options.
You can definitely do it, and you'd have the Mako or whatever else in there. But the Mako is not my what?
I was just gonna say, can it wait? I'm finishing my calibrations.
No, I just want to drive up the side of a mountain straight up in the Mako. That's all I want. Actually, though, if I could have any small vehicle within the Normandy, though, I'm going to have a TARDIS, because why would you not have a TARDIS?
Time and relative dimension in space. It means life.
Yeah, because then you have a giant vehicle also, because it's bigger on the inside.
That's right. And you can go in any time period, so we could go see our giant animals.
The only problem is that this TARDIS tends to have a mind of its own, and if it thinks you need if it thinks you should be somewhere and you don't think so, it'll put you where it thinks you should be.
I'm pretty sure it thinks I need to see a last Mytherium.
Yeah, it's going to throw us back so we can ride around on the Siberian unicorn.
The old Mudhorn.
Yep.
So that's what we have for movie or TV show vehicles. But what vehicle would you choose, big and small, ladies and gentlemen? Write us. Tell us.
Yeah, your small vehicle should fit in your large vehicle.
Them's the rules, folks. We don't make the rules. We just obey them.
Yeah, we just enforce them.
Yeah, we're the enforcers. And that brings us to the new trailers. We actually had a couple this week.
Yeah, we had a couple good ones, a couple weird ones, and one that I keep forgetting who the main actor is in.
So the first one we have is the new trailer for Black Widow. Is this the final trailer or is this just the new one?
It didn't say final trailer in the description, which half the time they will, so I bet there'll be maybe one more short one closer to release, because we got until May.
Yeah, yeah. The best part of this trailer is you get to see a lot more of Taskmaster.
Yeah, they got him up there, or in my theory, that is also our friend Stephanie's theory, who knows a lot about Black Widow. I think that maybe Rachel Weisz is actually Taskmaster, and they're going to do a little switcheroo.
Oh, interesting. That'd be an interesting take. I wouldn't mind it being a woman. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I bet it's Rachel Weisz. That's just my theory, based only on watching the trailers. So I don't feel like we need to warn about spoilers, because it's just a theory in my brain right now.
In this trailer, Taskmaster throws a shield like Captain America, and I almost wonder, like, if he or she studied the moves of Captain America to learn them, where would he see video of that?
There's probably video enough floating around out there from all the various stuff. Maybe Taskmaster got some video footage from the Winter Soldier or Civil War era when they were trying to capture him, so maybe they had this footage on file.
Maybe so. I do think I like the ending of the first trailer better, though, when she's skydiving through all the heaps of metal.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be fun in the theater.
That's gonna be cool. So we're looking forward to that. Then we have a trailer for Morbius.
Yeah, a third-tier Spider-Man villain who, if you asked me in the 90s if they would ever make a solo Morbius movie, I would have laughed you out of the room.
Like the vampire bat whose genes I have inherited, I hunger for plasma.
Michael Morbius?
Yeah, I think I still kind of might laugh you out of the room, but here we are. This is a movie about a vampire. I thought we were done with vampires.
Well, I mean, they are introducing Blade, so they got to start with the vampires.
Yeah, you make a good point. You make a good point. I didn't like this. It looked like a Fox movie to me, so I wasn't interested.
Yeah, the problem is that they put Michael Keaton at the end as Adrian Toomes, which means that it's MCU adjacent at the very least, and there's a Spider-Man graffiti on the wall.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what I actually found more interesting than this trailer is the news that Disney is changing 20th Century Fox to 20th Century Studios.
Yeah, and Searchlight too as well.
Yeah, so instead of Fox Searchlight, it's now just Searchlight Pictures?
I believe so.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I definitely won't see this in the theater, even if it is MCU adjacent. You got to be full MCU for me to pay money in the theater.
That's a fair point and a fair approach to Morbius, who is... I will say that, because I'm not a big Jared Leto fan, I like Blade Runner 2049, and he's all right in that, but he was supposed to be David Bowie. That character was supposed to be David Bowie, so I feel like I'm allowed to still be like, eh, Jared Leto. But I am glad that of all the people he could play in Marvel, that it's a character I don't really care about.
Yeah, next we have a trailer for Penny Dreadful's City of Angels. I have actually never seen anything Penny Dreadful, but what'd you think of this?
Well, the first Penny Dreadful was, season one was, I thought, one of the greatest things ever when it came out. I loved it. It was sort of like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen-esque. It was very dark, though, so I don't think it would have been maybe not a Ben show, but it was very good, and then season two was good, and then when they started making season three, Starz decided to cancel it, so they had a five-season plan, so they crammed three seasons into one, and season three was terrible. So then they wait, like, 5 years, and then they started making a new one. And it's like, if you were going to make more, why'd you ruin the good one that you started with and cram it all together instead of they should have just made the first one correctly instead of this. I don't know. I'm sort of salty about this existing at all.
This looks like a mixture of a lot of different movies and TV shows to me.
Well, that's sort of what the original one was, but in a sort of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen-esque way. Where it was combining all these different old horror things like Dracula and like the Mummy and stuff like that
with Nazis.
Well, there weren't any Nazis in the original, but in this second iteration there appears to be. So I don't know. I don't think I'm going to subscribe to Starz to watch it, but if I get Starz for something else, or is it Showtime? One of those ancillary.
Showtime. Yeah.
One of those ancillary. If they make another season of Twin Peaks on Showtime and I subscribe to that, maybe I'll check this out.
Call your cable company and tell them I want to see Starz.
Oh, man. What year is it?
Why do I remember? Stupid stuff like that takes up space in my brain. I hate that.
Yeah, I remember stuff like that, but I don't know how to do math.
Cool. We're doing great here, folks. Next, we have a new season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. What is this coming out on?
I think it's just going to be on NBC.
I thought this was canceled.
It was canceled off. It was on Fox, and the only reason it was supposed to be on NBC because it was Mike Schur's company who made it, who made Parks and Rec and The Good Place and basically all good shows. Fox bought it. And then Fox canceled it, and NBC just bought it back instead of having it stay canceled. So.
Oh, okay.
It just basically went back where it was originally going to be.
Do you watch the show?
Oh, I love the show. It's almost as good as Parks and Rec.
I've watched a lot of episodes, but I never got into it like I did The Office and Parks and Rec.
See, I don't like The Office.
Oh, okay. I liked The Office until Michael Scott left.
I think season two of The Office is one of the best seasons of TV ever made. But as soon as, like, season three onward, it's just not for me.
Next, we have Guns Akimbo, starring Harry Potter.
Yeah, and now we finally have context for that set picture from this movie that popped up a few years ago where he was in a bathrobe with bear slippers holding guns and yelling in the street.
Yeah, so in this movie, people murder each other on the internet, and the world watches this, and it's very out of the reality that we know. And then in the trailer, Harry Potter gets these guns literally bolted to his hands.
Yeah, and he's running around with Elrond's daughter, Samara Weaving, who is Hugo Weaving's daughter. And Rhys Darby from What We Do in the Shadows.
So he's been tasked to kill one of these internet stars who is like got a good kill streak, I guess, and the people love her or him. I don't know. It's some character named Nyx.
Yep.
And so chaos ensues. This is definitely a Red Band trailer, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I couldn't find a Green Band one.
So you added a special in-segment questions times to this.
Yeah, this was really from Jay. He submitted it to me and said we should talk about this, and I thought it was a good idea. If you had to have something bolted to your hands, and it's not that you want it, but if you had to have something, what would it be?
I thought about this, And I want little Iron Man wrist things bolted to my hands. And that way I could make like the either the nano suit for Iron Man or just even the gauntlets for Iron Man. Cover my hands. So if I'm like, you know, cutting up some chicken, I don't cut myself. Or if I need to like, you know, scare somebody in traffic, I can do like a flash with the repulsor rays kind of a thing.
It's a good idea. It's not nearly as good as mine though.
Oh, snap.
Yep. You remember when you'd go to a gashapon machine and you'd get one of those things and it was like one of those stretchy hands on a rope that you would fling against the window? That's what I want. I want two of those. So now instead of my dumb regular hands that can only reach as far as my hand goes, I have these green sticky hand extender things that I can whip out and I can grab something across the area and pull it back to me.
And the 2020 Nobel Peace Prize goes to Nick Kelly, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. I accept this Peace Prize. And then I whip out my green extendo hand and I grab it and I pull it back to myself.
And the crowd just goes wild. The crowd goes wild.
Granted, after about 45 minutes of use, they would be full of fuzz and like couch hair and stuff and they wouldn't work anymore. But, you know, I've made my peace with that at this point.
And the one time he grabbed that glass of milk, folks, he learned not to do that again.
Yep, it just broke everything. It landed on the keyboard. Everything's destroyed.
Jess said, Nick, next time put the milk in a thermos, for heaven's sake.
But, you know, I wouldn't be able to open the thermos with my little sticky hands, so I have to make do.
Yeah. Next we have the final season trailer for BoJack Horseman. This is a show that you watch.
Yeah, I put this in there because the final season looks to be a lot different than the previous seasons. BoJack found a little piece at the end of this first batch of the season that we got a couple months ago. And in January 31st, the final six episodes come out. And I feel like the way that this show is, I really can't say if I can predict whether it's going to have a happy ending or not. Because he's got a lot of... he's got a lot of stuff floating around that could come back and bite him, but can't wait to see how it ends. It's really, really surprisingly well-written show. It's you wouldn't expect it because it's called BoJack Horseman and it's about Will Arnett with a horse man, and there's all these dumb animal jokes in the show, but it's brilliant in a couple different ways. It's really well written. Some of the background gags are just like cartoonishly dumb, but they're really funny. Like there's one scene where it was raining and it cuts to an outside shot after it was raining, and there's a guy who has like a worm head and he's just like flailing on the sidewalk like a worm after it rains.
That's good. It's good animal humor. And then we have a trailer for The Night Clerk. Starring Ready Player One. This movie, this does not look like a movie I would want to see, but it's got John Leguizamo in it, and I love John Leguizamo.
It's also got Ana de Armas from Blade Runner 2049 and Knives Out.
Yeah, is this going to be one of those that we watch because of the cast, I wonder?
I think I'll watch this if it's on HBO.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I couldn't tell what it was about. It looked like some sort of maybe skeevy night clerk guy who has these security videos, and then I bet you something will be on the tapes and he'll get in trouble or something like that.
Yeah, murder happens and he may have seen something. Yeah, this is very similar to this Amy Adams movie that's coming out where she's an agoraphobic.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I don't remember what that one was called.
It's basically someone with mental issues witnesses some kind of crime or something, and then, you know, it's like a mystery is involved with that. Next, we have a trailer for The Lovebirds, and I just watched it literally like 30 minutes or 45 minutes ago, and I can't remember what it is.
This is the most punch-press action rom-com of all time. It reminded me of that Steve Carell, Tina Fey movie, Date Night.
Oh, this is this is the one that has the Eternal in it.
Yeah, Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah, that's it, Kumail, yeah.
Yeah.
This actually made me chuckle a little bit. Like, I didn't laugh at all at that Guns Akimbo trailer, but this one, I chuckled a little bit in this trailer.
Yeah, it was pretty funny, the part where they are at the place with all the masks, and they say to take the masks off, and they're the only ones who do. It's like, clearly a trap that worked.
Yeah, and she makes a Handmaid's Tale joke at one point that I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah, I'll watch this probably like I did with Date Night with Steve Carell and Tina Fey when it's on HBO, and I can watch it for free in my house.
And look at your phone to it.
Yeah, which would definitely happen.
Do you guys want to sign up for a family plan?
And then probably one of the most interesting things other than the Black Widow trailer that we saw, that we got a trailer for, is David Attenborough, A Life on Our Planet.
I will watch anything that says David Attenborough on it.
Yes, anything David Attenborough, anything BBC, Nature, I love every second of it. I own all of that stuff that is ownable on like Blu-ray, so I will definitely be checking this out. And in this one, he tells you what you can do, I think, right?
Yeah, it's about basically like stop screwing up the earth.
Yeah. But as long as humans like money and power, not going to happen, David. Sorry. I hate to be a fatalist in that regard, but that's the way Dad does it. That's the way America does it.
And it's worked out pretty bad so far.
You got it. You worded it perfectly.
Yep. I wish people would listen to David Attenborough. I don't think they will, but I'm going to watch what he says and... Well, I'll do my part.
I'll tell you what, he says in this trailer that he's 93 years old, and I couldn't get over that fact. The whole trailer, I was going, gosh, how can I be in such good shape and like speak so normal speed at 93? Because, you know, most of the time, if you're 93, it's like you can barely understand them because they're so old.
Yep, and David Attenborough's got like the best voice on the planet.
Yeah, so that was, can't wait for that.
Same.
And that's all the new.
Yep.
That brings us to the Ultimate Versus.
Brand new segment.
Welcome to Ultimate Versus. Did Jackson submit some of these, my brother Jackson?
Yeah, the first two, he sent me that gigantic list, so the first two will always be from his list.
Okay, and then I added one myself.
Yep.
But the first one that he added was Magneto versus Transformers.
I was thinking about this one, and mine is a scenario that plays out. I think the first time they clash, Magneto decimates everything. He destroys them so bad that they regroup. And like everyone else who has fought Magneto once, they come back having changed the game some. So they might have to adapt themselves, like in Beast Wars. Because I'm pretty sure in Beast Wars, when they were in their organic form, they wouldn't be subjected to the magnetic powers of Magneto. So maybe they switch it up and they come back as Beast Wars Transformers.
You know, I wonder, do the Transformers have the ability to do like maybe carbon circuit boards and maybe like non-ferrous metal? Can Magneto manipulate non-ferrous metal? I don't think he can.
Maybe he can, but he's been acting like he can't so far, in case someone tries that.
So unless the Transformers come at him with some wooden or plastic forms, they're gonna be hurting.
Yeah, I think that they lose unless they adapt.
Then we have the next up that my brother listed was the Covenant from Halo versus Bugs from Starship Troopers. I want to call them the Hive, but that's Destiny. What's
the Flood?
The Flood. Yeah, I almost think about the Flood would be better against the Bugs.
Yeah, I think the Covenant just nukes the Klandethu planet from orbit, I give this one to the Covenant fully.
Yeah, I think that would probably be, they just bring the ring to that planet and just destroy it. I mean, that's easy peasy.
Yep. The only thing that the Klandethu has is those plasma bugs that can shoot the plasma bombs, but, you know, the Covenant specializes in plasma weaponry.
I always thought about those plasma bugs because they shoot stuff from their booties and then they reach Earth, but like how far away is that planet?
It's got to be pretty far away.
Well, those plasma things look like they're moving real slow, so that would take like thousands and thousands of years.
It's almost as if when they made Starship Troopers, they didn't put a lot of thought into the science and physics.
We don't care about the science, folks. We're trying to make a movie here.
Yeah, Paul Verhoeven directed Starship Troopers, and, you know, he made RoboCop, so...
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Yeah, so I'm going to give this one to the Covenant, for sure.
Yep, definitely.
But then I said, what about Iron Fist versus Scorpion from Mortal Kombat?
I think if you have Marvel versus Capcom, you can actually see how this works out.
That's actually a good point. I don't know... I'm trying to think if I've ever played Iron Fist in one of those games.
Yeah, I don't know if he's in it. It might just be the main Avengers or something, but...
Well, actually, you couldn't do this because Mortal Kombat's not Capcom. It's owned by Warner Brothers now.
That's right. Warner Brothers... Yeah, that's right.
For a second there, people were screaming at their podcast... Screaming at their iPhone.
Yep, sorry, folks. I don't remember who owns every single fighting game.
Hi. I'm a regular listener, but I unsubscribed today because you mentioned Marvel versus Capcom with Scorpion in it, and you're a fake nerd.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I still think Iron Fist would win.
I think Iron Fist, yeah, because he could, like, punch that, come here, get over here. What do you call it? A harpoon? I get a hand harpoon?
Yeah, it's some sort of harpoon. It probably has a name. It's probably based on a ninja weapon of some kind, but God save me, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. So he could punch that hand harpoon and knock that out. And then if he blows that fire, I feel like he could do like one of those like shockwaves where he hits his own hand and it mm-hmm. creates a shockwave and just blows the fire away. And then he'll do some ninjutsu or whatever the fighting style is. What, Kung Fu? Wing Chun? I don't know. What is it?
Maybe Kung Fu.
Yeah, Kung Fu, and then he'll... He strikes me as a better fighter than Scorpion, so...
All I know is that I personally have beaten Scorpion in Mortal Kombat games, and I've never beaten Iron Fist in anything.
Except for ratings.
Yeah.
In your show.
Yep, that's true.
Well, that does it for this week's Ultimate Versus, but if you have some interesting... matchups, why don't you send them to us? Maybe they'll get read on the show. If you're lucky.
If you want to hear us talk about who would win, feel free to send that in.
And speaking of sending stuff in, Nick, it's time for that trailer mailers segment of the show.
I got some responses for the question times last week, and we got a couple Apple podcast reviews. So our first question last week was, we have already freed Willy. What needs to be freed today? And Sheila said, free people from their need to insult others to people that they're complimenting. And this is a good idea. It's sort of, her example was if someone complimented her family while at the same time disparaging another family. People do that with movies sometimes. I hear people do that with, like, Marvel movies. When Black Panther came out, somebody, I don't remember who it was, somebody on Twitter was like, oh, Black Panther was great, so much better than... And then they listed a bunch of other Marvel movies. And it's like, why? What? It's not the same kind of movie. Why are you comparing them? So I agreed with her.
Absolutely.
Missy said, free creators from fan influence. I would like to say this louder for the people in the back. Free creators from fan influence.
God, fans are the worst.
Yeah, this affects... a lot of things. If the creators are more accessible, I feel like it affects that content more, like the Adventure Zone or stuff like that, where the fans can be sort of aggressive and ownery. And
maybe we can dive a little bit deeper in that and say, can we free the fans from their throat grasp on their old content and accept something new, maybe?
That's what our next answer is from Rob on Instagram said, free the fandom from itself. Because,
oh, I didn't even read that.
Yeah, nerds will do that, become toxic fandoms like Star Wars. And Rob says we should all be able to like our things and get along. And like he said on the Instagram post that he likes Katie Sackhoff and he knows that you don't think she's a good actor, but he still likes you.
Yeah, and I don't take every episode, take the opportunity to say that I don't like Katie Sackhoff or that she shouldn't be in anything. I think she should be in whatever people put her in because... people like her. Hiring, you know, casting directors may like her for some this or that, and put her in it. I don't care.
Yeah, you may have noticed at the beginning of the podcast, Ben said he didn't watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and I said I didn't watch The Office, and we didn't fight or insult each other or threaten each other or anything.
We didn't. We had a normal conversation because we're decent individuals.
Right. And then Bridget said, free the patent for EpiPens so they don't cost so much and someone can design them better. I remember watching a small documentary about this once, and I agree.
Yeah, these answers are so good, man. You guys, we are jealous. I'll say that.
Especially for this one. I feel like my answer was so dumb that I don't even remember what it was, and we got people coming in with all these brilliant, like, introspective answers, and I had a week to think of mine, too.
Oh, so thanks for those, folks. Those were great. And then we also had some folks write in about if Disney remade the prequels, who would you tap to write and direct and star in them?
Missy said, the prequels should never be remade, but imagine Wes Anderson's Star Wars just for fun. And, well, I love this.
I don't even know that I can imagine that.
I'm just picturing Jason Schwartzman as Anakin now, and it's my favorite thing I've ever thought of.
Rob says that he'd like it to be written by Dave Filoni, directed by J.J., Deborah Chow, Jon Favreau, and have the same cast.
That was pretty much in line with what I said. Dave Filoni was the writer of most of the Clone Wars, and he directed a bunch of episodes of Mandalorian. He's sort of like the lore keeper for Star Wars. Taika Waititi was in an interview recently because they were thinking about giving him a Star Wars movie, and he said he would do it if he could call Dave and ask him questions while he was making it. So that's probably the best way for me, is to have Dave Filoni. Like, Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau should have made the new trilogy, but, you know, that's hindsight, is 2020. They didn't know when they started this back in 2015 how much of a genius that collaboration would be. Deborah Chow, she directed my favorite episode of The Mandalorian, J.J. Abrams. If he had been able to plan out three movies from the start, I think he would be great too.
Yep. And then Haley underscore K said, this is for fun. She said, Greta Gerwig directs, Phoebe Waller-Bridge writes, and it's a coming-of-age story from Padme's perspective. Florence Pugh stars as Padme, Ty Sheridan as Anakin. What do you think about this?
I think looking at Ty Sheridan, that he could maybe do it. Florence Pugh is a great actress. I'm pretty sure she can do whatever she wants. I've watched a couple things with her this weekend. She's pretty great. Greta Gerwig's a great director. I think she could do whatever she wants too. But Phoebe Waller-Bridge is a wild answer for a writer. She's a genius, but I would really like to see her Star Wars.
If you would have told me that the people that were in this answer were all people from the 1950s, I'd be like, wow, that's a deep answer. And it sounds believable.
Yeah, all these names sound like... and then her real answer was James Mangold directing and Phoebe Waller-Bridge still writing. Jack Quaid as Anakin and Zoe Kravitz as Padme and Keep Ewan.
I kind of like that.
James Mangold made Logan, and that's a great movie.
I'm not like super big on Logan, but it was well made, and I think he has the chops for it.
Zoe Kravitz is great too. She's going to be in Matt Reeves' Batman as Catwoman. She's in that High Fidelity show that we talked about, which Brad told me that in the John Cusack one, he did break the fourth wall as well.
Okay, well, that makes more sense now.
So I like that answer, Haley. Thank you for chiming in.
Well done. Bridget says we should keep Ewan, of course, and Samuel L. Jackson. She has to keep Samuel L. Jackson.
I mean, I guess if Samuel L. Jackson wants to be in it, good luck getting him out of it.
That's true. That is true. She liked Liam okay, but to recast.
Yeah, Liam Neeson for Qui-Gon. She said it was okay to recast him. She liked him. I liked her next one. Completely redo Jar Jar or just get rid of him.
Yeah, he's not necessary. I still like my idea of having it be Kyle Mooney, though, and just some alien version or just him in like some kind of some prosthetic or something.
I mean, the character of Jar Jar is necessary in the way that he is the one who basically creates Emperor Palpatine by giving him supreme power or whatever, but they could have retooled that in a way that was less stupid.
That's an easy rewrite, yeah. Right there. Yeah. Then he wants Favreau to direct it, of course, or to write it, or anyone on The Mandalorian, which, yeah, that's perfect. Liam Hemsworth might be a good Anakin.
Yep. She agreed with my Sebastian Stan, but yeah. She said he might be too old. Maybe unless you retool it a bit, which is sort of where I was coming from, is I thought he should be older.
She sounds like Yoda. He's too old.
Yeah, too old to begin the training.
Do we get in training?
I want to start in media res. I don't need young Anakin in my Star Wars prequels.
Yeah, I think I'm on board with that too. No young Anakin. What is this Apple review?
Yeah, I went on to iTunes to check. I always go on every so often to check if we got new reviews. And then Apple user Plurkle, I'm sure that's one of you listening. I don't know which one. But Plurkle said, come for the movie trailers, stay for the video game trailers. Also, Ben and Nick ask some of the best icebreaker questions in the interactive The Question Time segment. I can't even say the name of my own segment here.
Go ahead and pack up your things, Nick.
Yeah, they're already packed from the last 20 times.
Jay left us an Apple review, too.
Yeah, I have that one pulled up. You can't copy and paste off of iTunes for some reason. So...
God, the walled garden, Nick.
Yep, this is what Jay had to say. Sometimes you can't... his title of his trailer of his review was Reviews of Movies That Aren't Out Yet, based on someone at a studio releasing snippets. Sometimes you can judge a book by its cover. Ben and Nick review trailers, which are what movie and game studios use to entice you. Sometimes they fall flat, the trailers, not Ben and Nick. But sometimes you get something that really makes you excited for the future. Just like the next episode of Trailer Blazers. I like Trailer Blazers so much that I went through the pain in the
Armageddon
of installing iTunes just so I can write a review.
Oh, you even threw an Armageddon in there. It's so good. Well, thank you, Plurkle and Jay, for doing that. You guys are the real MVPs.
If you wanna be a real MVP, just like Jay and Plurkle, you can rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts, which is still the best way for us to get traction. You can email us at trailerblazerspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram at trailerblazerspodcast. That's where I do the bulk of social media interaction with everyone. That's where I post the questions times. I try to reply to everything. Leave no one hanging. That's my motto. You can follow us on Twitter at @trailer_blazers. I really just Podbean automatically posts an update when we put a new episode. So if you use Twitter a lot, that's a good way to know that we've put up a new episode.
And I was reading something the other day that said that when the ninth person calls in or writes in to us, you get two tickets to the imaginary monster truck tournament in your local arena. And that's going to be a compliment of us. And it's going to come over your neural net. So just be on the lookout on your neural net. And if it hits you, you just know that you're the winner. But you have to write in to do it.
This week at the Monster Truck Rally, it's Magneto versus all the Transformers.
You know, folks, you don't want to miss it. It's going to be carnage. That's a wrong character. It's going to be Magneto. It's not going to be Carnage. It's going to be Magneto.
He's in the Sony-verse.
All right, folks, that'll do it for us this week. I am a patent-free EpiPen. I'm Ben Moon, and I'm out.
I'm Nick Kelly, and I'm the final season of BoJack Horseman. And I'm out. Happy Trailsers.
Happy Trailsers. Welcome back to the quarter portion of the show, the vid
Yo Games
portion of the show, the one quarter portion, and again, probably less than that because there was Nathan that came out.
Nope, and everything that is coming out is being delayed.
Yes, so that's actually, we have a news item. Cyberpunk 2077 was delayed until September of this year. It was supposed to come out in like March.
They're pushing it back. The reason given was to polish things up. Well, that's usually a good sign for something to do, but a friend of mine who works in the games industry had mentioned online that in this case, it seems like they may end up having to do more crunch than if they had released it earlier, which is really hard on people in the game dev industry. So hopefully that's not the case and nobody is working their fingers to the bones here. Maybe, hopefully they get a little extra time.
Hopefully so. I mean, game delays are the opposite of movie delays. They're usually good, like you always say.
Yeah, a game delay usually results in a better product than a movie delay because, you know, otherwise we end up with the New Mutants coming out 5 years after they filmed it.
Ugh. Well, I actually don't mind this at all because I want the game to be great. But also, I've got tons of other stuff to play. I have a backlog that's huge. And also, this takes a lot of pressure off of me for Dragon Con this year, because I was going to do Cyberpunk, but we were only going to have, what, March to the end of August to get it done.
Yeah, this way everyone has a whole entire year.
Yes, so I am actually very happy about this news. I still can't wait to play it, but there's plenty of stuff in the meantime.
They also pushed back the Final Fantasy VII remake, but that was only by like a month, and they pushed back the Avengers game from May to September.
That's right, that's right. And I'm still wondering, obviously they're going to make more parts to that Final Fantasy remake, but I don't know, are pre-orders still a thing? Are kids still doing that these days?
I think so. I don't know if they're pre-ordering Final Fantasy. I think they're releasing that episodically, so it might not work the same as other games.
Yeah, maybe not. Now, we actually did get two trailers this past week. We got a trailer for Doom Eternal. This might be a final trailer, maybe.
This is a Doom game. I've never played a Doom game. It had some cool-looking monsters in it. That guy that had like the weird lightsaber axe, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of chopping in this game. A lot of like swords with runes on them, and then you chop them up, chopping up some demons.
Chopping up some, that's my favorite thing to do in the game, just chopping up some demons in samurai style.
I wonder if it still has the duct tape mod. You can duct tape a flashlight to your axe.
That's what I usually do when I do some night chopping, wood, chopping wood.
Sure, sure. That's what night chopping is.
Hey, man, hey, you ever end up chopping up a demon and then just cooking a little bit up piece of it, see what it tastes like?
It hadn't occurred to me. Ben, what does a demon taste like?
Trash. You don't want none of it. Don't try it. You ever tried when you're taking a shower and you taste a little bit of that shampoo because it smells so good? It smells like candy. You ever tried Aussie shampoo? I tell you what, Aussie shampoo smells like candy. It does not taste like candy.
That's the shampoo that I have.
Yeah, it doesn't taste like no candy. Demon meat don't taste like no cow or pig or something.
Does it taste like soap?
Tastes like brimstone and sulfur.
Brimstone with sriracha on it.
That's right. That's how I like it.
This is not, I probably won't play this. I didn't play the other Doom game, but it's like real action-packed. You're supposed to run the whole time, I think, and not stop.
Not for me.
I'm getting to the point where I need to relax. I need a turn-based strategy game. Help me relax.
You know I like them third-person games.
I know you like them third-person games. Speaking of third-person games, is the Elder Scrolls Online, is that third-person, or can you play third-person?
I know in regular Elder Scrolls you can toggle between. I'm sure you can probably toggle like them.
The Elder Scrolls Online has a new trailer for Greymoor, their new content. There seems to be a ton of content for this. I think I'm actually going to get this when it comes out on Stadia.
Yeah, this was actually a really good trailer because it made me wish I played the Elder Scrolls Online. I was like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah, it's a cinematic trailer, so not gameplay or anything, but just lots of the content.
Yeah, it made me want to be in the Elder Scrolls Online world. I don't like online games, so I probably wouldn't enjoy it in practice, but the trailer was good enough that it put that in my brain that I wanted it.
I think this game has a lot of PvE, so you can, like, you and your buddies can go questing. I think there's a lot of that, and you can, like, once you all hop off at the end of the night, when you get back on, you kind of start you out where you were before, and so that kind of sounds pretty good. I think me and my buddies actually are going to all get it on Stadia and play together. Sounds like a good times.
Sounds fun. I go to bed too early. I don't have people that I play with. I used to play Overwatch a lot when I worked at different hours, but I pretty much don't play online anymore.
Throughout both the Destiny games, the theme was me staying up too late to play with my friends, and I'll be running into a wall and just running, and they're like, Ben, I'll be like, sorry guys, I fell asleep.
Oh.
I just constantly fall asleep playing it. Both Destinies fell asleep, not raiding, but you know, just playing stuff. So
the only thing I know about you playing Destiny is secondhand information I got from Missy when she would play with you guys, and she would just say you're all very southern.
Us southerns.
You southerns with your alligators and your lassos and your really good barbecue.
You Fargoans with all your snow and your shoveling your snow there. Oh, but boy,
I tell you, that's accurate. That's all I've been doing for the past 2 days.
Your whole life is snow, and then it's just windy.
Mm-hmm.
And you just stay inside.
Yep. Can't go out there. It hurts your face.
If I lived up there, Nick, you and I, we could construct a curling strip to play curling.
We'd be playing curling, yeah.
Now I wish we had a teleporter. I want to do some curling up north.
Yeah, come up here. We'll build a curling arena.
You and I would have to save up, though, because I think those curling stones are like $1,000 or $2,000 a piece or something.
Well, we'll just steal them. We'll do a heist.
Yeah, see? Put them up. Give me your best curling stone, see?
We'll steal them from the Olympics. It'll be like Mission Impossible style. We'll lower you in from the ceiling.
Be like National Treasure with Nick Cage.
Oh, yeah. That's what that movie was about, curling.
Yeah, he had to steal the curling stone.
Mm-hmm.
The golden curling stone. Hey, how much do you think a curling stone made out of pure uranium would weigh?
I think the curling stones are regulation weight, so I think it would weigh whatever the regulation was.
That'd be a tiny stone, because I think like a softball-sized ball of uranium weighs like 200 pounds.
So it's like the dark matter in Futurama?
Kinda, yeah. So I think it's like a curling stone made out of pure uranium would probably weigh like half a ton or like maybe one metric ton.
Welcome to Put the Rock in the House, the curling fan cast. My name is Nick, and I can only get in outside yellow.
Welcome to the Super Sliders. We are the curling fan cast.
Welcome to the Sweep Brothers.
We're just gonna come up with name for our new curling podcast, Creepy Curlers.
Curler Blurzers.
Oh, I like it. Curler Blurzers. The One Shoe Magnanimous Duo.
Jailer Blazers. Got it.
Slipping and Sweeping.
Rock Talk.
Brooms and Collisions.
The Slider Guys.
I like all those. Those are all pretty good.
How come they don't make any curling video games?
Dude, that I actually, like, you'd have to do the little finesse with the, that actually sounds pretty fun. I'd play that.
Yeah, maybe we'll look into that and see if there's a curling game.
There might be on that Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games, they might have curling.
I mean, I used to play Tiger Woods, and, like, a golf game doesn't seem like it's more radical a concept than making a curling game.
Hey, let's think about this. If we got that curling stone and we could do a custom paint job on it, would you let me do, like, Sonic the Hedgehog or like one of those slimes from the Dragon Quest games?
Oh, you can do whatever you want, yeah.
What would be a good thing to do? Like a Pikachu? Oh, you know what we should do? We should paint it to look like one of the traps from Ghostbusters because it has the handle like one of those traps.
I'm putting my hands up in the air. That's the best idea I've ever heard. We are the Ghostbusters of curling. I'm sure there's a curling pun that can be made with Ghostbusters.
Oh, Creepy Curlers.
Yeah, Creepy Curlers. Yep, that's it. We're the Creepy Curlers. We have a ghost trap. Whenever we put the rock in the house, it does the Ecto-1 alarm sound. The meh, meh.
We can make our own proton packs and have the broom attached to the hose. And it'll look like Luigi, but it might be kind of good.
This is the best idea ever. This is now a curling podcast.
Tune in next week where we dedicate our lives to the sport of curling.
Mm-hmm.
And the Slider Guys, the Creepy Curlers,
the Trailer Curlers.
This is now a shoemaking podcast, the Trailer Cobblers.
Well, you're a shoemaker.
I paint shoes. I'm almost done with my new pair. It's gonna be real good. Check it out on Instagram, folks. It's exciting.
Yeah, you'd have to follow Ben's private or personal Instagram. It's not private.
It's not private.
One. Check out them shoes, though.
Check out them shoes. All right, well, that does it really for all the video games and curling that we've got for this mm-hmm. week. So, I'm Ben, and I'm I'm just one of the Creepy Curlers. Happy Trailsers.
I'm Nick, and I'm the skipper of the Creepy Curlsers.
Curlsers! Happy Curlsers!
Happy Curlsers. Megadon.